Bob, we had gone through the entire scriptures here, basically just an overview of the Bible, getting kind of an idea what each book kind of had as a general idea. And now we're in Genesis now. We haven't made it through Genesis. I was hoping to get through there last 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, but it just seems that thus doesn't happen for me. These lessons that are only supposed to take a week end up taking 6 months. But that's the way it goes in the Bible sometimes. So basically, what I wanted to look at today, just to jump right in here and then we'll pray, is we had kind of looked at Genesis and saw that it was a book of the beginnings. We went through and looked at how some of the law first mentioned. Then we got into the book of types, how Joseph was a type of Christ, and how, you know, Moses Adam was the representation or a type of man, Jacob, of the servant, Isaac the son. We looked at that. Then we saw the contrast, Adam versus Christ, Genesis versus Revelation, the differences from the beginning to the end. And now we looked, I think it was last week that our last time I talked about the angel of the Lord and the different occurrences of that in Genesis. Jesus Christ, prior to being manifest in the flesh as the angel of the Lord, coming down and visiting with man. Yes, sir.
I don't remember any of this. Was I here when this was going on?
I don't know. The book of that, whenever I covered about the angel of the Lord, you may have been in Genesis chapter 16.
Sorry.
No, hey. No problem. I think actually both of you were out. You were in Ohio, and I think you weren't feeling well.
That's why.
Gene was here in the flesh, but I don't know mentally if he was here. But that's okay. We can go over that. You did. Mm-hmm.
I know I wasn't here, but I went to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can cover it again. When in doubt, hit rewind. Hey, play that tape. I can sit down. We can just listen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for a place that's called by your name, that's separate from this world, a place to get away, Lord. That, Lord, we look, seek your face today, seek you to come down and be with us. Father, if you're just here to hear man or listen to some words, it's going to do us no good. But, Father, we're here to get something from you today. So we pray, God, you just put me aside. And, Lord, whatever you'd have to be spoken today, preached and taught, that our hearts would be receptive to it and we get something from it that would help us, Lord, to be draw closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for it. Be with the prison ministry today. Be with the things that are going on there. May you draw those men to you. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, they're up at Houtsdale, I think it is,
yes,
today. So pray for that.
That was at
Smithfield. They had last week, the Smithfield prison, they had 7 men saved at that prison. So this is Sunday is Houtsdale. I think it runs through Wednesday, I think is what the text said. So keep them in mind. Dad was not able to go this time. He's just really, not just his the regular pain. He just hasn't been feeling good. He's very sick. So I Skyped last night, thank you. And he didn't even come out. He was in a tent or cave or something hiding, so he wasn't feeling very well. So pray for him, but he does. We all do. Chapter 16 of Genesis, look at verse 7. And basically what we looked at here is the fancy word, if you read it in your Bible study or if you go to Bible school, they call this a theophany, which is basically the Jesus manifest himself in the form of the angel of the Lord or an angel in the Old Testament. So we'll look at a couple of them. Genesis chapter 16, look at verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water. And this is interesting that the angel of the Lord shows up to a servant who had been rejected by Abraham, obviously kicked out of the house because Sarah didn't want her around no more. So this is an angel of the Lord. It's the first time that he showed up in the Bible. And it's to this woman here. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? Whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. So one thing we obviously can tell about this angel of the Lord, he's not some big winged creature.
Yeah.
if that was the case, I don't think Hagar would have hung around.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm in the state that she's in, obviously she's just got kicked out of the house. She has nothing but the clothes on her back and her son, and she's out in the desert with no means of support or future. She's basically saying she's just going to die here, right? And here this angel of the Lord shows up. So it didn't intimidate her to the point where she felt like she needed to flee. She was obviously in a rough situation here. Verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. So this angel of the Lord, in verse 11, he shows up again. Says, I said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. So this angel of the Lord can talk to you in words you can understand. He still does that today.
Yes.
Amen. He doesn't manifest himself. Now, though, I never put down somebody who said they've seen something or had a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Does God still talk to people literally, man to man? I don't know. He's not talked to me that way yet, although he's talked to me through his word. And there's been times I felt very influenced that, wow, he's like right here. I've been that close. I don't think I've ever heard an audible voice. Maybe in my mind I might have dreamed that I did, but I don't think that I have. I think if I would have, I would know that. But just like Hagar here knew that the angel of the Lord was speaking to her. So basically, you can go through and look all through the book of Genesis. Look in chapter 22. Many times you'll see the angel showed up or the angel of the Lord. Specifically, I won't get into the deep teaching because I just don't have the time to do it. It would take up the rest of the year. Or at least several weeks. Anyhow, if you go into and try to explain the Lord Jesus Christ showing up and the angel and who is it, Gabriel, that showed up sometimes, and sometimes it was the Lord, and who was it, and why, and to prove all that. But if you want to study, that's a fascinating study, and there's some wackos out there, so you got to be careful if you're studying online, because they will pervert and twist everything to try to fit their doctrines. I've often said, if you wanted to prove anything in the Bible, you really could. And the thing that I would always say is, I'd pull the verse that says, and Judas went and hanged himself. And then I could take a piece of scripture over here that says, go and do thou likewise.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could form a religion that promotes hanging yourself. You know, I mean, you can prove anything you want. If you know. Well, I think I should preach that downtown. Anyhow. Maybe on Penn Street. Was it Penn Street they were picketing on or demonstrating here Friday or something like that, I think it was?
Boston?
No, Reading.
Oh, man, I was there. I had guns and everything.
Well, you know, I was thinking about getting, you know, seeing how my bumper would hold up against a few.
Yeah,
but
right, yeah.
I didn't get out of work till 5. They were done picketing by or whatever, demonstrating by then. So anyway, you can study it on your own, but it is a pretty neat study throughout the Bible when the angel of the Lord shows up. But here in Genesis, again, we're just trying to show how the first 5 books of the Bible, although they're Old Testament, although they're to the Jew and about the Jew historically, there's a lot of things that we can glean, and it points to Jesus Christ in the New Testament as him coming, obviously, dying on the cross for our sins, just like we saw Abraham offered his son as a lamb without spot and blemish. You know, it was God will provide himself a lamb. We see that in Genesis, right? So all that, and then we're going to see that through the next couple books as we go through this Pentateuch. But here the angel of the Lord, just like in the New Testament, when Jesus showed up here on earth in his ministry, here again he's ministering to people back in Genesis chapter, well, here 22, look at verse 11. And it says, and Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And an angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abram, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And has the Lord ever called your name? This is a good message right there, you know. Has he ever called your name? What did you answer? Or did you hide like Adam?
Yeah.
You know, here Abram said, here am I. I'm right here, Lord. Why? You can tell the difference. Abraham, in this point, was in the Lord's will. Adam was not. Hence, the reason why he had hid himself. Verse 12, there's a good preaching all through this book. But we're not preaching, we're teaching. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So again, we see the same thing where the Lord or the angel of the Lord is talking to Abraham. It's not a ghostly apparition that's silhouetted in the background. I think he was a man seemingly flesh and blood that he could see, that he could speak to, that he wasn't just a voice from heaven. Although God has done that throughout the Old Testament, there was a voice from heaven. Whenever Jesus Christ was baptized, there was a voice from heaven. But I don't think that's what this was here. This was a literal physical person here. Look at verse 15. Maybe not in the sense of flesh and blood as you and I are, but enough that he was able to speak with them because he was made flesh in John and dwelt among us. Here he wasn't, had not been made flesh yet. And the angel of the Lord, verse 15, called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. So it's odd too, where was he? Was he floating in the sky? Because there's three heavens.
Right.
I don't think he was in the third heaven at this point. I think he was just here, visible. But was he standing on the earth? I don't know. It doesn't say that. It says he was called out of heaven. So I think he was somehow there.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, so I'll find out when I get to heaven. But yes, he was definitely able to speak to him. He was able to communicate, have fellowship with him, and he knew who he was. I know there's been a lot of religions, quote unquote, started because of, well, was it Brigham Young was met by whoever he was supposed to have been met by? Yeah, Barak? Oh, Moroni. Yeah, that moron. That is a true angel. He's got to be real. The angel moron. He was one of the ones that got kicked out with Satan. He was running for president. His first name was Barak. Morona. So there are definitely angels that Bible says in the New Testament, be careful to entertain strangers because thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And I horribly butchered that verse, but that's pretty much what it says. So they definitely showed up in the Old Testament. They're referred to as the angel of the Lord, and they were able to speak to, and the angel of the Lord specifically, I believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other angels that showed up and told them to name a baby a certain thing or told them to go a certain place. So that's pretty much, again, just the same thing showing those throughout the book of Genesis. And then also Genesis is a book of covenants. Look in Genesis 3:15. And if you wanted to, you could. There's so many of them in the book of Genesis. Obviously, God's setting the standard and the stage for the rest of basically, man. Genesis 3:15, and it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So, the interesting thing there is it's referred to as an it, and. Without getting into the depth again, because we talked about this a couple weeks ago too, the Trinity is an entity. It's in the working of the Trinity many times, because and that's where if you get a perversion of the Bible and they destroy that working of the Trinity, and it's very hard to see that because they'll change the witches to, and I mean WHICH, not the WITCH. They'll change that to. Because it's neuter. It's not male or female. It's neuter. It's which is just kind of a it, and it shall bruise its heel. Look in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Exactly. It says, "And earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, capital S, moved upon the face of the waters." How do you know that's a working of the Trinity? Because there's action taking place. He moved upon the face of the waters, right? So if you want, and we had talked about this a couple weeks ago, and if you were here for that too, and it's, you know, if you want to do a study on the Trinity, it's an awesome thing, but you're not going to learn it overnight.
Right.
It's something that's line upon line, precept upon precept. There's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Why is that the verse that's the very first verse when I have a when I got the Spanish Bibles I flipped to, because I'm like, I want to see what they say here. And I found some interesting things, and I don't know enough about Spanish yet to be able to, you know, say one way or another, but I definitely got something that's kind of piqued my interest there. I'm not sure, just doesn't make a whole lot of sense yet, but maybe once I learn a little more, it'll come clear. But they always attack that name. It's like my Christian name is Jeffrey Allen Height. That's what they call that, your Christian name. That is, you have Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his full name. Paul, throughout the New Testament, always referred to the Trinity when he prayed. I pray, you know, that God keep you, whatever he says, and grace be with you, and multiplied in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul says that, you should pay attention. There's one verse, I have it marked, I just should have looked it up. But he says the Lord Jesus Christ twice in the verse, and he says, I beseech you. I would have to think that whatever that verse is talking about, and I just can't remember now, I didn't think about it ahead of time, you would want to pay attention to. Pretty important verse, I would say, to have the Lord's full name twice and Paul begging you about something. It would be something I would want to make sure I got right. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. That's how it goes up here. So Genesis 8, verse 21, flip there. Another covenant in the book of Genesis. This is why I never get through anything. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Thank the Lord for that covenant, or we would all be dead. Again and again and again. if it was bad back then, and I imagine that it was. But I also know that the Lord said that the thoughts and the things that men do never even entered into his mind. He can't even, he just never thought that man would get to the deplorable, literally, state that man actually is in. And I can only, I have to, I could be wrong, but if it's not worse, it's got to be right there in today's world versus as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Look in chapter 9, verse 11. Another covenant. This is the, if you want to call it Noah covenant, I don't know how you say it, N-O-A-H-I-C, Noahic. Sounds like I got something in my back. Noahic. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And you can read down through there, verse 17. That's the Noahic, however you want to say it, covenant. I can't say that word, obviously. Noahic covenant. But he has a bow set in the earth. And that was kind of neat, too. We learned this year when Pastor, I don't know, you probably didn't hear this, Brother Harrison, when his son flew back. Was it from Germany? He had taken a picture of a rainbow outside the wing of the plane, and it was a round halo-looking rainbow. It wasn't the bowed rainbow. Looked that up and found out that they call that a glory. That's the name of that rainbow, was a glory, and it was right after his daughter-in-law had passed away, right? And his son was flying back, and we'd been praying for her salvation for some time, and all indications are that she got saved there at the end. So, you know, gave peace to, it was just, that was glory. So, and the Lord got the glory. So it's kind of neat, that rainbow showing up. Pretty interesting that they would call it that, right? Chapter 12 of Genesis. Chapter 12. So the Palestinians and the all the other ragheads over there that are trying to take Israel's land, they can say what they want, do what they want, and whatever. But someday, God will have enough. Amen. And he's going to give back to Israel the land that he had promised them, because God is not a man that he should lie. And here back in chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I believe part of that covenant kind of extends to Christians, maybe not in that exact context, because obviously Abraham was the Jew, and that land and the promise that, and you can see anybody that's ever messed with the Jews, how they get in trouble. It may take some time, but they end up getting in trouble. God may use a nation to judge Israel, but then that nation ends up worse than they were. But even Christians, I see today, like companies that that a Christian man would work for, they're blessed while that man works there. Perfect example, and not that my dad's anything, it's just very obvious there. The company he had started and worked for, I don't know, 20-some years, when he left, they never barely gave him a kick in the butt on the way out the door, and not long after that, the company folded and they sold it. So I just see that as an example, but that happens many, many times. J.C. Penney is one. When he started that company, he was tithing, they said, 90% of what he was earning to the Lord. Of course, obviously now it's not the same, but look how long that has lasted because of that man starting it under Christian principles, on and on. So I think it's not the same. That's an Abrahamic covenant, not Christians, but as we're spliced in, I think some of that extends over to us. That's just my heretical belief. Chapter 13 of Genesis, look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, this is the covenant about the land that is theirs, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward, eastward and westward. I don't know exactly how high up Abram was at that point, and how much land that he saw, but whatever he saw, verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for a couple years. Oh, until the ragheads show up. Until the Palestinians want the Gaza Strip. Well, it says forever, absolutely. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And there's a good proof, too, because if you get into some of those guys that now are preaching that God's done with the Jew, the British Israelism, and how all that junk that's gone on now, and how God's, written off the Jew. God said right here in this verse, forever, first of all, that's, I don't know how else you interpret that. And he also said that he is numbered. So God knows, he knows who the Jews are. Because that's one of their arguments, is that while the line has been diluted, the blood has been kind of diluted over the years, and who really is a Jew? What is a Jew anyway? Because they're all, of the sandlot fellows. How could God keep, because they've been everywhere. They've been to Germany. They've been to Austria. They were and came to America. How could God keep track? Well, don't worry. God has them numbered. Yeah. You might not be able to number them, but guess what? God numbered the sand and the dust of the earth. So I'm sure he can keep track of his people. He knows who the Jews are. He hasn't lost control. And how I know that is that we're still here. Because when God loses control, I think there would be a bad day for the rest of the universe. Seeing how he holds that up, right? So if he's having a bad day and he loses control, we're in trouble. Chapter 15 of Genesis, look at verse 18. Another covenant. Again, the same thing about the Abrahamic covenant. Basically, this is the writing on the wall for the United Nations. Yep. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. And here it even lays it out. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, and you can go on through there, and you can add, these are actual places where people actually live. This isn't Angel Moroni talking about the planet Cobalt or whatever they have, Kolob, and the names that they just throw that never existed. Yeah. No, these are actual places, actual peoples, and you can go over there and actually find where this boundary is. I got Doc's Bible here, and he has in the back a map, if I can find it here quickly. Where it lays out, I probably won't be able to find it because, oh, here it is. Is this it? Okay, so he's got Israel's original land, Abraham's original land grant, and it's kind of neat. Just happens to be in the shape of a triangle, and right, you know. And he shows it's basically, man, I don't know my. So here's the Nile. I had to find where I was on the map. So here's the Nile. I could Google it. The River Euphrates, so that was the one boundary. So it goes across the bottom, the top of Africa, from the where Egypt, the Nile would be, over to, he calls this the Garden. I think he has another, so I could find out better. No, he doesn't. There you go. It's some body of water over here you could find today. Terrible with my geography. But it's laid out right here. That's Israel. And what they got right now is what, one little tiny speck of land that's, what, 120 miles by 120 miles or something like that? That is not what God had originally granted them. And the United Nations keep trying to take more and more from it. Well, someday, God's going to say, you know what? Enough is enough. Genesis chapter 17. Again, a warning in the road for the United Nations and another Abrahamic covenant. Verse 3, and Abram fell on his face as God, and God talked with him, saying, so you notice this is not the angel of the Lord here. This is God talking with him. Well, what's the difference? I don't know. You figure it out. Study. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And this is where he changed his name. Thy name shall no more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And he goes on and says he will bless Abraham and multiply him exceedingly. And he has. And of all the peoples throughout history that have continually suffered at the hands of other nations, Israel's probably got to be one of the top ones. And they've survived. And they're still very numerable to the point that they're everywhere. They own the television. You know, anything that has anything to do with money, they're there, right? The biggest banks, that's how they are. That's how God made them. He said he would bless them, and he has. Even in their wretched, unholy state, God still honors his covenant. Now, he does bring judgment, just like he does with us, but the Jews are still here. Ishmael has the 7-Elevens. And the, can I help you? And he still has all, he has all the IT networking too. Can I help you? Did you turn off your computer? Reboot. All right. So the value of Genesis, what is the value of this book? Why do we even have it in the Bible? What does it matter? Well, obviously, it's there for many purposes that we've looked at through this study. But one of the things I wanted to bring out is it's basically setting aside the flesh for the spirit. And you see that over and over throughout there. Isaac displaces Ishmael. Jacob supersedes Esau, man of the world, man of the flesh. Abraham's life and his coming out from the land of his what he knew was going to be his inheritance, that it was going to be Abraham's place. And God said, no, you come out from there, from Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to go to this place. So God called him out of one place, just like he does us. He calls us out of this world. We have, the world promotes the ability to self-benefit. You know, it's all about yourself. What can you do to make yourself better? Do more for yourself. And, of course, all through the Bible, you see how God says, set aside self and serve others. And constantly throughout the New Testament, even in Acts, you saw, and I don't believe this necessarily to the churches today for us, it was a book of transition, but you saw how he said, sell all your goods and bring it all together, and we're going to, you know, be in a commune. And that's kind of where they get those Waco things, and they kind of miss because they don't understand. But the point is, the whole point of that is that you are, as a Christian, we are to be much more able to give than to receive. We're not supposed to be taking care of number one. That's not our job. Our job is to help others. Remember the little, what do you call that stupid thing? When you have a bunch of letters that make a word and each one stands for something. Yeah, whatever that is. Joy, you know, Jesus, others, and yourself last. There you go. Well, that's the word. I didn't know something like that. We had them in the military all the time. There was always a name for something. I don't even remember half of them anymore. But yeah, so, you know, it sounds cute and Sunday schoolish and little kiddish, but the fact of the matter is when you put things in the right priority, your life is so much more fulfilling. I don't know how many examples you can give to the times, if you just think back throughout your own life, where you didn't want to do something, God asked you to do it, and you said, no, I didn't want to do that because this guy is, you know, I'm not helping him. He deserves to be in trouble. And finally, you know, the Lord breaks you down and you feel so bad, you go and help him. You don't do it with a good heart anyway, and you're just like, whatever, here, God told me to help you here. And in spite of your attitude, in spite of your not willing, you get a blessing out of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, then that's a slap in the face. And the Lord said, see, if you would have just listened, how much more? I was going to bless you, but now that's all you get.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know, Lord. But we've all been there. How many times do you say go to a nursing home? You're like, oh, it stinks over there.
Yeah.
There's people. Oh, hey, I'm not. I've been there. I've been to nursing homes more than most. And I don't really want to go. Lord, they don't. They drool. They don't listen. They're not getting anything out of it. But you get over there and you know you start singing the old hymns of Zion.
Yeah.
Great, you know, great is thy faithfulness. The old rugged cross. You can't go in a nursing home without singing the old rugged cross. They all know that song. Just as I am, or Amazing Grace. And all of a sudden, that one that's sitting in the corner that don't think she's paying attention, you look over, and her eyes are closed, and she's leaning back, and she's singing along with you in her heart. You're bringing joy to her, and you're like, you know, that's why we're here,
yeah.
You know? So, again, that's the reason why. Displacing the flesh for the spirit, amen? We are going to fly through this because I got a few minutes, but I want to be done with Genesis for this study, amen?
Yeah.
So I want to throw these at you. If you want them later, I'll be more than happy to give them to you. But there are some breakdowns in Genesis that are really kind of neat. There's a human side of the... We'll look at the Pentateuch first, and then we'll jump into... we're going to forget it because I want to get through Genesis. See how easily I get distracted? Yes. So the introduction of Genesis is chapters 1 through 2, verse 3. The generations of... This is if you break down Genesis as... generationally, okay? So the generations of heaven and earth are from chapters 2, verse 4 through chapter 4, verse 26. The generations of Adam are chapter 5 through 6, verse 8. The generations of Noah, 6 through 9, verse 29. Again, that's just flying through these. The generations of Noah's sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, is chapters 10 through 11, verse 9. And then Shem specifically is chapter 11 through, chapter 11, 10 through verse 26. I was going to say 10 through 11 through chapter 10. It doesn't make sense. But and then generations of Ishmael, chapter 25 through verses 12 through 18. Generations of Isaac, verses 19 through chapter 35, verse 29. Generations of Esau, then the generations of Esau's sons. The generations of Jacob. So I'll give you all those verses if you want later, but that's how, if you want to break it down generationally through the book of Genesis. If you want to do it another way, you can do it the generation of man, actually, you know, the beginning, chapters 1 and chapter 2, the actual creation. Then it didn't take long for the degeneration in Genesis of both the individual, the family, society, and the nations. That's chapters 3 through 11. And then the rest of Genesis is the regeneration of those same individuals, families, society, and a nation through chapter 50. Let's see. Here's another one. We'll skip that one. Here's another breakdown. Creation to the fall to the flood, and the flood to Babel. The history of Abraham, history of Isaac, history of Jacob, history of Joseph. So that's kind of another breakdown. There's so many verses I'd love to go over, but we just don't have time. So the introduction of Isaac, of Genesis, I was reading ahead. You'll learn that someday. you do that stuff. In the introduction, I'm just going to read through this real quick. I think I got a couple minutes. The origin of the plan of redemption, because this is how it ties into the Pentateuch, ties into the gospel. So Genesis, the introduction of Genesis is the origin of the plan of redemption, of man, sin, and salvation. It provides a foundation for the future revelation. The fact of the creation of man is given in the first chapter, and the mode of his creation in the second. God's rest is a type and a prophecy, creation rest, redemption rest, eternal rest. Corresponding to this, there is the believer's twofold rest in Matthew chapter 11, 26 through 29. So I could go through all that. I'm wondering if I should just do that. Should I save this and go through this next week? Because this is pretty good. I hate to fly through this. Because this really nails down why Genesis, or why the Pentateuch, points towards the gospel. Why that you can find the gospel in the first five books of the Bible. How that correlates to the prophecy of God coming, and how when he came and died for our sins, how that was foretold even back in the first five books. Hate to fly through this because there's a lot of good verses here that would be, you could put cross references in your Bible that would kind of show you that. So I think we'll wait. I didn't want to, but the Lord just stopped me there and said, you know what, you need to slow down and not fly through that. It won't take long next week. It's only a page and a half, but I think it would be worth taking some time. So we'll stop there as per the Lord's instructions. See, I told you he don't talk to me. He doesn't come out physically and say stuff to me. But he has a way of, like, you could just tell. I don't know. It's kind of funny. So hope you got something out of it. I know we kind of fly through stuff, but I enjoy it. It's neat. The Bible is never dull. If it's dull to you, then you're not doing it right, right? You need to stop and study again. Amen. Ben. How about you close in prayer for us?